Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. It is April 15th. Do you know where your taxes are? Today is a day of anti-tax protests. If you listen to some in the media, with Tea Party rallies taking place around the country to protest allegedly high taxes and to complain, it seems, about virtually everything the United States government is doing. But are taxes really that high, historically speaking? And what about the benefits we derive as Americans and as citizens of the state of Wisconsin? Our taxes pay to support our troops. They pay for our police and fire protection. They plow our roads in the winter and pave them in the summer. They support the education of our children. They give us clean air and water and protect our forests and lakes for hikers, hunters, and fishermen. They keep our food and our workplaces safe. They provide a lifeline for the unemployed and for those in need. Our taxes fund America, a government that is formed in free elections by we the people. So to borrow a phrase from Richard Nixon, for the next hour on Route 51, we're going to do something different. We're not going to scream about high taxes. Instead, we're going to thank you, the great silent majority, the patriotic American taxpayer who pays his or her taxes on time and doesn't complain about it, and considers it a true measure of patriotism to provide the funding that keeps America and the state of Wisconsin moving forward. Joining us today from Milwaukee, Dr. Jack Norman, Research Director for the Institute for Wisconsin's Future, an organization dedicated to adequate funding for state and local governments. Dr. Norman is the author of Wisconsin's Revenue Gap, an analysis of corporate tax avoidance, and also Exposing the Wisconsin Tax Hell Hole, tax hell hoax. Here in our studio in Wausau, Stan Grzynski is a former Central Wisconsin state legislator and a candidate for Congress. He's currently the Wisconsin State Director of the United States Department of Agriculture Rural Development Programs. Mr. Grzynski is a former dairy farmer who has been involved with farm policy issues. Now, as always, we want to hear from you. Are you tired of people whining and complaining about the taxes they pay and running down the United States government? Are you tired of people not supporting their local school districts and referendums? Or maybe you really do think your taxes are too high and our government is overreaching. Either way, we'd like to hear from you. Join the conversation. Give us a call at 261-6371. That's 261-6371 if you're in the Wausau area or anywhere you're listening. Toll free at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Stan Grzynski and Jack Norman, thanks so much for being with us on Route 51 today.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Glenn.
Thank you, Glenn.
Stan, let's start with you. You were in Madison today, a big Tea Party rally right around the state capitol. Your impressions of it?
Well, I think it's a reflection of people's anxieties and concerns about the economic struggle that we're going through right now. I mean, I can understand where that anxiety level would raise. But on the other hand, this is America. This is our process. And if people want to voice their opinions or hold rallies or do those sorts of things, they have every right to do it. I think in the end, though, the debate has to be based on the facts and reality, and it needs to be civil because that's how our process works. And in the end, I think that's what the majority of people expect.
Jack Norman, your impression of the Tea Party rallies that are being held around Wisconsin and around America today?
Well, there's certainly a lot of anger going on there. I don't think they're based really on facts. It's a very emotion-based process. I'll give you one simple example, a number that has been getting a lot of attention in the past few days and on the sort of radio and television shows that the Tea Party favors is this 47% number. That's the percentage of Americans who pay zero income tax. And so people have been saying, well, half of America is not even paying taxes. Well, that's just completely false. The statement, the fact here is, yes, it's true 47% aren't paying a federal income tax, but the fact is virtually everybody in America is paying some federal taxes. We're all sharing in it. What that number ignores is the fact that Americans who work, we're all paying and helping support the federal government. We have our payroll taxes, the FICA and the Medicare taxes. If you actually were to calculate in terms of Americans who are helping bear the burden for the federal taxes, it's something like 90% of people are paying. So that, to me, is just a one kind of example of a complete misstatement of facts that the Tea Party people are using to stoke up the emotions.
Well, the idea appears to be that the poor, beleaguered rich people in this country are paying for everything and are way overtaxed, and working class poor people are paying virtually nothing.
The rich people in America, this is very not non-controversial in terms of data, it's the highest income levels that in the past 10 years have seen by far the greatest increase in their income. And at the same time, also, the highest income levels are where taxes have gone down the most. And so what's happened is literally the wealthiest Americans have had a tremendous increase in income and a decrease in taxes. So while it's true they generally pay more taxes than the rest of us, the fact is that they're making out much, much, much better than they were 10 years ago.
Phyllis Schlafly, a conservative activist, wrote a column this week pointing to that 47% figure, saying that we are, in essence, becoming two countries, the hardworking taxpayers and a country of freeloaders.
The freeloaders, I have to say, are not the mass of people. The freeloaders, I believe, in America are a lot of people who are in using a lot of very clever legal techniques to be able to avoid paying taxes. We saw this in Wisconsin very clearly with the large multinational corporations, a majority of whom were not paying state income tax each year because of their ability to use loopholes and tax scams. The legislature finally last year closed down a lot of those when it passed something called combined reporting. But if you look at the federal IRS data, they are very clear that tax evasion is something that goes on most of all at the highest income levels.
Stan Grzynski, I'd like you to comment on this 47% figure that Jack Norman has been talking about and that we've heard on all of the cable television news shows this week. Is that accurate, 47% of Americans not paying any tax at all? Jack Norman says it is not accurate.
Well, Glenn, I think that Jack's assessment is right. You can take statistics and make them work for you any way you want, but the fact of the matter is, if you take into consideration what he just said and then you add to it the fact that there are other ways of paying taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, fees, and otherwise, you realize that, in fact, most Americans, as I think you indicated earlier, are paying taxes and contributing to the overall good of the Commonwealth, and that, if anything, what we really need to do is take a look at the proportions and the fairness of the tax burden. And frankly, I think a lot of the unhappiness and even the anger is over the fact that a lot of people suspect that the system is skewed and is working against them, which is why I think a debate on this is important. But again, I'll say I think it should be a civil debate, and I don't think it should be incited by falsehoods or the kinds of claims that Ms. Schlafly has made.
Under the Obama administration, according to a study by the Brookings Institution, the tax burden has gone down in this country. They write that the president and his administration have passed 25 separate tax cuts, including $300 billion earmarked for the middle class, 95% of Americans covered by one tax cut or another. And they go on to say that the family of four, the average family of four today, now pays 4.6% of its income in taxes, which is actually the lowest level in 60 years. Jack, are those statistics accurate?
Sure, as far as I know, they are. A lot of the tax cuts that have affected all of American middle and working class people in the last year came as part of the federal recovery package, which I think is quite misunderstood. People just don't understand, just don't see it. Let me give you one simple example. If you are an employee, if you work and have a paycheck and your taxes are withdrawn from that paycheck, every paycheck you get, you are getting more money because of a federal tax cut that was passed last year as part of the Obama administration's Recovery Act. Now, we tend to forget about that, but again, every single paycheck we get has a smaller tax in it precisely because of tax cuts that were passed last year. We could go on with lots of other examples of ways in which the federal recovery is helping throughout America, but it's unfortunately been somewhat of an invisible tax cut. People aren't aware of it. And so the figure you cited, 95%, I saw a study today that said 98% of Americans are paying less taxes because of the federal tax cuts. It's just striking that it's not perceived that way by the public.
Glenn, I'd like to add to that. I think the danger here is that we get into this debate almost over whether taxes are good or bad. And, you know, to me, it's not really a question about good or bad. In order to have I think it was Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes said taxes are the price we pay for a civilized society. If we agree to live in a society, if we believe in our responsibilities to the commonwealth, the nation, or the state, then you understand that it's going to take resources, just the way it takes capital to develop and build a business, or the way we have to earn income so we can have a budget for our families or otherwise. I think the real focus should be not on whether there's some mythical, because it would be mythical, way that we can eliminate taxes, but rather how we can ensure that our tax system is fair, that it's equitable, that it's meeting our needs, that the resources we raise, whether it's at the local, state, or national level, are used in as efficiently as possible, and that we're doing what we need to do to ensure the welfare of the nation.
Stan Grzynski, a former state legislator, former candidate for Congress, currently with the U.S. Department of Agriculture in the Obama administration. We also have with us Jack Norman, who is the research director for the Institute for Wisconsin's Future. We're talking about taxes. I'm Glenn Mobrick. This is Route 51, and this is a show which is honoring you, the American taxpayer, the patriotic taxpayer who pays his taxes, doesn't mind funding the government, and doesn't complain about it. If you think that there are good things that your tax money is going to and you don't mind spending it, we want to hear from you, because we haven't been hearing from many people with that point of view over the past few weeks. It's a show for you. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Now, if you also think that your taxes are too high, if you think there's something unfair about them, if you think the government is too big and it's overreaching, we want to hear from you as well. 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
The Mercer Public Library invites you to celebrate the next chapter of library service Saturday, April 17th from 4 to 7 p.m. Enjoy music, food, and fun, and learn more about the library's expansion plans. Information at 476-2366.
Your business can reach an audience like no other in Wisconsin by supporting programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. For more information about business sponsorships, call Rick Ryer at 1-800-749-3906.
Our forecast for north central Wisconsin: becoming mostly cloudy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms early, turning clear and colder after midnight tonight, a low of 42. Friday, breezy and cool, a high of 54. Only 54 degrees tomorrow. It's going to feel like a different season, an overnight low of 28. Saturday, sunny and pleasant, a high of 58. Sunday, more sunshine, a high of 66. Right now, partly sunny skies to the north, cloudy to the south. We've got 69 in Tomahawk, 70 in Rhinelander, Eagle River, and Phillips, 72 in Woodruff, 73 in Stevens Point and Antigo, 74 in Merrill, 75 in Wisconsin Rapids, 80 degrees in Wautoma, 76 in Marshfield, and outside our studio in Wausau. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Our phone number is 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. A show in which we are thanking you, the American and Wisconsin taxpayer, for doing your patriotic duty, paying your taxes, not complaining too much about it, and supporting the American government and the government of the state of Wisconsin. We'd like to hear from you if you don't mind paying your taxes, and we'd like to hear from you if you do. 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742. Our guests, Stan Grzynski and Jack Norman. Jack, we were talking about the perception that we are taxed very highly right now. And in fact, there was a CBS poll that was just taken, and I've got it in front of me somewhere here. It indicates that, and this was just this week, 34% of Americans think their taxes have gone up in the last year. 53% think they've stayed the same. Only 12% thought their taxes had gone down. Why the disconnect with reality?
That's a good question. It's just one of these areas where emotion trumps fact for most people when it comes to taxes. And we get hit with, twice a year, we get hit with a big tax bill or a big number in front of us. Once, usually in December, just before the holidays, we get a property tax bill. That's a huge one for the year, thousands of dollars. And then we get the other, the April 15th. So we have these two occasions where people are kind of revved up and sensitive, and they see a big number. And otherwise, you know, the taxes we pay a little bit here, a little bit there, it isn't noticed. So I think it's just sort of set up in a way to be so emotionally volatile. You know, I want to mention one other thing. We just put out a study today, actually, about Wisconsin's billion-dollar tax gap. You've been talking about all of the people who pay their taxes and pay them on time and without much fuss and complaint, maybe some private grumbling, but there are many people who simply do not. We've done an estimate in Wisconsin of what is called the tax gap, and that's the difference between what people owe and what they actually pay. Our estimate in Wisconsin is that this comes to about a $1.2 billion each year. That is, there's about a $1.2 billion of money that is owed to the state, but that simply is not paid. Sometimes it's inadvertent mistake. Sometimes it's deliberate cheating. Sometimes people just simply don't report their income.
How do you come up with that figure?
Well, it's not a straightforward number. What we did is we used the Internal Revenue Service has done some major studies on their federal tax gap estimates, and so we translated their methodology to Wisconsin, and we then looked at some other different situations. To give you an example, our estimate is that there's about $45 million a year in lost revenue from the cigarette tax, with people buying their cigarettes in ways that allows them to avoid the state cigarette tax. For figuring that out, we did some comparisons with Minnesota. Minnesota had done a very thorough study of that a few years back when they had the high cigarette tax and Wisconsin had the low tax. Situation's reversed now. We've got a higher cigarette tax in Wisconsin than they did in Minnesota, so we were able to use the Minnesota methodology to come up with that estimate.
But $1.2 billion, is that $1.2 billion a year?
That's right. That's
that would go a
basically,
long...
it's about 10% of our general, what's called general purpose revenue collection. So
that'd go a long way towards solving that budget deficit
in
Madison.
10% of that, you know, if we could, I mean, nobody says we're going to close the billion-dollar tax gap. That would mean a tremendous increase in sort of government intrusion. But the fact is that we can close that to some degree. Last year, the legislature did vote some additional personnel in the Revenue Department precisely for that purpose, and now Revenue Department is back to having close to 50 vacancies. So for people who are paying taxes, and even if they're grumbling, well, okay, they're paying them, we shouldn't be letting people get away with deliberately avoiding or underpaying their taxes. And this is a case where we think just a small investment in additional resources in the Department of Revenue will way more than pay for itself in terms of additional revenue that can be collected. This doesn't mean having to raise any tax. It just means collecting the taxes that people should be paying and are not.
Stan Grzynski, you spent a number of years in Madison as a state legislator. I don't see too many politicians running on a promise to raise taxes.
No, that's a rarity if you'll get someone who will do that. And those politicians who've indicated that they're willing to do something about it, including the possibility of raising the revenue to cover the debt, have gotten themselves in trouble. I'm thinking about a few years back when Lee Dreyfus and Marty Schreiber were campaigning, and the state had a little surplus at the time, And Lee Dreyfus made it his you know, big part of his campaign to say that we ought to give the money back to the people. Marty Schreiber was indicating that we ought to keep it as a rainy day fund because the economy goes up and down. Revenues may not come in the way we're anticipating. Sure enough, that happened. Lee Dreyfus was elected. The money, you know, checks went back to the folks. And it wasn't too long after that that the state found itself in the red. And when Tony Earl, as the newly elected governor, said he was going to do the appropriate thing and look for ways to cut spending and save as much as he could, but on the other hand, meet the obligations of the state and increase, you know, taxes in some areas, it was enough for him to be labeled, you know, Tony the Taxer, and it was the springboard for Tommy Thompson and his election, you know, 4 years later.
Well, Tommy Thompson spoke before a Tea Party rally in Madison today, but he didn't really have much of a reputation as a tax cutter during his administration, did he?
Well, no, and I was in the legislature at the time. You know, fortunately for Wisconsin, we were taking in more revenue each budget. You know, the economy was booming. If you'll recall the Clinton administration, we were balancing the budget and things were looking good. And every time the governor, and that was Tommy at the time, and those of us in the legislature turned around, and we could offer more tax cuts and increase spending. In fact, if you look at the spending during that period of time when Governor Thompson was administering to this state, the spending went up rather substantially. So it's interesting to me that, you know, that the governor, former governor, would be speaking to a group of people who were concerned about the growth of government, because while Tommy may have found Jesus on this issue, the fact of the matter is his record doesn't speak to that.
And he did announce today that he will not run against Russ Feingold for the U.S. Senate. Wisconsin has a reputation as being a highly taxed state. Now, there was a press release I saw just this past week indicating that we are now 15th on the list, which is a vast improvement over what had transpired before. Jack Norman, you've written an analysis, a paper disputing the fact that Wisconsin is a tax hell.
That's right. It is a misnomer in this sense. If we really want to measure how much we have to spend in order to support state and local government, we have to take into account all the ways in which we're spending money. That is, it comes out of our pockets. We pay state income tax, we pay sales tax, property tax, we pay liquor fees and so on. We pay license fees, tuition. If you add it all up, how much we spend in Wisconsin for state and local government, and then you do the comparisons, you know, do it as a percentage of income or per person, whatever, Wisconsin always comes out around 24th or 25th in the nation. That is, the cost of state and local government in Wisconsin is about exactly at the national average. We are a very, very mainstream state.
So you're saying we're actually even doing better than this 15?
Yes. Now, the
list
issue
that we saw.
Here's the little chink that gives the tax.
Jack, look, you're going to have to hang on because we've got news coming up here in 10 seconds. Jack Norman, he's a tax expert. We have Stan Grzynski, farm activist. He's now with the USDA. We want to hear from you. We're talking about taxes. 261-6371, 1-800-780-9742.
Ford and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association.
Don't fear the reaper, or in this case, the tax man. That's the subject on Route 51 today. I'm Glenn Moberg. And our guest, Stan Grzynski, he's a former state legislator, former congressional candidate, and also currently working as the Director for Rural Development in Wisconsin for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We also have Jack Norman joining us from Milwaukee. He is the Research Director for the Institute for Wisconsin's Future. He is a tax expert, and this is a show for those of you who pay your taxes every year. Don't complain too much about them. Don't mind funding the American and the state of Wisconsin governments. And it's a show for us to point out some of the good things that our taxes do for us every year. One thing, I guess, that you could point to is the National Aeronautics and Space Administration. We just had a story about the International Space Station, the Moon program. All of that, of course, would have been impossible without tax dollars.
Well, this is Jack. I enjoyed hearing, too, the politician who's promising to cut taxes if he gets elected governor. It's so easy for someone running to say, I'm going to cut your taxes. But, of course, cutting taxes means also cutting services. Got to cut something. And that's not what people run on. If the candidate had stood up and said, I'm going to cut, well, what? What is he going to cut? What is he going to eliminate from government in order to cut taxes? That's what he should really be telling us if he's honest.
And you're saying there aren't enough specifics in the pledges of so many politicians to cut spending.
Well, cutting spending means cutting things, cutting programs that people like, and that's not what the politicians want to tell us about. So I think it's the first question that should be sent back to any politician who's running for office, who's going to cut taxes, is to ask them, what program are you going to cut? Exactly what are you going to take away or reduce in order to have these tax cuts? And I think that's immediately going to really just stop the conversation, because either they have no clue as to what they're going to do, or I'll tell you, they come up and they start talking about things they're going to cut, it's going to make a lot of people unhappy.
You know, Glenn, when I was younger, still at home with my dad, working on the farm, these issues about taxes and who's paying them, they've been around for a long time, and there was a little debate going on at that time, and I remember talking with my dad about it and saying, you never complain about this. What are your feelings about these issues? Because there was a real shift, frankly, over the years, from especially for farmers, in terms of the weight of the property tax. So I was wondering what he felt about the pinch, and his answer was sort of interesting to me, and it stayed with me for a long time, because he said, well, to tell you the truth, I don't have much problem with paying taxes as long as they're fair. Now, this is a fellow that served in World War II. He had 11th grade high school education. He came back from the war. He got training as a welder. He welded. He farmed at the same time. He put his kids through college.
Well, like most Americans from that point in time, he considered it to be his patriotic duty to pay taxes.
He absolutely did. And when I looked at the taxes that they paid at that time, when I asked him that question, proportionately, if you factored in all the taxes, they were paying more taxes than I'm paying today, proportionately. And, I think that says something about the kind of mantra that we've been hitting the average citizen with constantly about, well, there's too much, it's too costly. We need to pay for our commonwealth. My dad knew that he was building universities that he would never use, that he was cleaning up lakes and rivers for the future. And I think that we've got to kind of take another look at all of this, decide what our priorities are, and then understand that when you set those priorities, you have to come up with a mechanism to cover the costs, and that's what taxes are.
2616371 if you're in the Wausau area, 2616371, or toll free anywhere you're listening, 1-800-780-9742. That's 780-9742. This is a show for you, the American taxpayer. Are you proud when you send that check into the federal government or the state government to think of how you're contributing to the future of America or Wisconsin? We want to hear from you. And if you're not, if you think your taxes are too high, if you think there's a problem with what the government is doing, I would ask you to call us also and tell us what would happen to our military without taxes, our inner cities, our farms, our public schools, our environment, our police and fire protection, our roads and infrastructure, our air safety, our workplaces, our food, and the unemployed. Jack Barnes, Jack Norman, you wrote an analysis about Wisconsin's tax hell, and you were in the middle of explaining that.
Sure.
Before we took our break.
Here's what I wanted to say. Number one, if we look at the cost of state and local government in Wisconsin, it's about the average in America. But in Wisconsin, historically, we tend to get that money almost entirely from taxes rather than what are called fees. So, for example, we have no toll roads in the entire state of Wisconsin. Driving is free on the highway. We have moderate tuition at our colleges. We have, in many places, most places, free snow plowing. We have garbage pickup. Many states, it costs 10 times what it is in Wisconsin just to register a vehicle. Therefore, when people compare taxes alone, Wisconsin looks worse because we pay through the taxes rather than fees. If you combine taxes and fees, total cost of government, Wisconsin is an average state. If you exclude that fee component, which is cash out of our pocket, then Wisconsin is 15th highest. But the real measure is the total cost of state and local government. And in Wisconsin, that is just about at the national average.
We just had a couple of callers on the line, and our phone system glitched. So Kathy in Price County and the other caller, please call us back right now. We want to get your comments on the air as quickly as we can. Let me read you a few quotes here. Oliver Wendell Holmes, this is one that, Stan, you mentioned, taxes are the price we pay for civilization. Franklin Roosevelt, taxes, after all, are dues that we pay for the privileges of membership in an organized society. Benjamin Franklin's famous one, in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes, but then an unknown author added to it, taxes of life's two certainties, the only one for which you can get an automatic extension is taxes.
Well, you know, I got to say, old Ben Franklin had it almost right, but there are still plenty of people, again, generally with very high-priced lawyers and accountants who find ways to get around that tax bill. We do have a problem in America with tax evasion and tax avoidance, and it's a thriving industry. In fact, there are literally patents on tax avoidant techniques.
And when I moved up here from Illinois 17 years ago, I asked about our property taxes, and my realtor at the time, a lady that a lot of people, I'm not going to mention her name, but a lot of people knew her in Wausau, she said, well, that's the price you pay for living in paradise, Glenn. Let's go to the phones. We've got Kathy in Price County. Kathy, you're on Route 51.
Hi. First of all, I'd like to thank you for this program. I think it's just excellent. I absolutely agree with Ralph Waldo Emerson's quote. I think a lot of people don't realize how many benefits they get from their taxes. I know you mentioned like public service things, you know, the police, fire departments, highways, roads. But how about some of the museums or national parks, state parks, even the waysides that along the highways? I mean, there's so many things that we kind of take for granted.
I'm planning on going to the Milwaukee Public Museum this Sunday to see the Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit. It's a very hefty admission price to get in there, but yet there are a lot of museums which are completely tax supported that are open completely to the poor and people who don't have high incomes.
Right. And I really get tired of people saying that we all pay too much taxes. I don't think they speak for me. I don't believe I pay too much taxes. I'm a senior citizen and retired, raised my family, and I'm very, very happy to do my fair share.
All right, Kathy, thanks so much for the phone call. Let's go back to the phones. We have Barbara in Wausau. Barbara, you're on Route 51.
Yes, I am, and I couldn't agree more with that last caller. I'm more than happy to pay my taxes because I don't have to pay a toll. I work in the Appleton area. I live in Hazelhurst. I use Highway 51 constantly. And both my children went through UW-Madison. Excellent education for the price. I think we all need to invest in our future of our children, or where are we ever going to be? And these people that complain about the taxes and I think they're just looking for something to complain about, because I think we get our money's worth.
Stan Grzynski?
Well, I'd like to touch on something that Barbara mentioned, and, well, Kathy, too, implied it in her call earlier, and that is that all of this results in a quality of life and a standard of living that people aspire to. I remember when I was in the legislature and we were looking to attract business and industry to Wisconsin, or especially in the technology fields and medicine and those areas, and always one of the qualifying factors was the quality of life. What are the schools like? What are the parks like? What is your infrastructure? And that always was important to bringing people to Wisconsin, to bringing business to Wisconsin. So it's something of a dichotomy to say, well, the goal here is to simply reduce costs, you know, dramatically, and to get as low a tax as possible. It does not work in the interest of business development to have a state that is unappealing to business.
And Jack Norman, your organization, the Institute for Wisconsin's Future, you're concerned primarily about adequate funding for state and local governments.
Absolutely. It's so important, the functions we cannot live without. You know, I'd like to actually expand a little bit, expand on what Kathy and Barbara were saying, and Stan, in terms of what we get from government, because we tend to think of very specific things, like a public library or an unemployment check or so on. But the single most valuable, most important function that's played by government, particularly state and local government, is simply protection, the protection of our bodies and our belongings. The fact is that we have contracts that we can give us confidence in entering into business deals with people. Those contracts make sense only because they're backed up by a court of law, which is a public structure. And so if people want to talk about how much value do I get for my tax dollars, I would say that it is the wealthiest, the people that have property and income, are getting the most value because those assets that they have are protected by the public structures that taxes support.
Yeah, we hear a lot about the public versus the private sector. The fact of the matter is the free market system wouldn't even exist. The private sector wouldn't exist unless you had some semblance of public order, police and fire protection, a legal system so that you could do redress of grievances without shooting your neighbor, which, you know, would be the alternative situation under a system of anarchy.
Well, you know, that's so right. And I'll tell you, there's a photograph that I love. I've seen it. And it's a photograph of some Tea Party protesters, and they're standing beside a road. They've got their signs that are against taxes, and their faces are screaming. And in that photo, it turns out they are standing right underneath a traffic signal paid for by tax money. They are at a bus stop paid for by tax money. In the background, you can see a park paid for by tax money, a little public water fountain. And so in the midst of all of these obvious signs of the valuable public structures that our taxes buy, these people are saying, I don't want to pay taxes.
Well, not to mention, Glenn and Jack, you're right on, because there's also the protection of your personal and civil rights, your ability to be there and to do it and to know that the courts will stand with you if someone would disagree with you. And that's all part of the infrastructure, and it costs money. Frankly, if you think about it, it'd be pretty rough living in a society. And, Glenn, I think this is what you were getting at earlier in terms of our economic system, if there was no order provided by government, so you could carry on business and expect that you wouldn't have it stolen from you with no redress. So these are all things that I think, if you get down to the basics, most people, you know, that vast, as you referred to them earlier, that vast silent majority understand that this is essential to a civilized society. But I think that we could all go kind of an extra step to try to make this a more civil and engaged debate.
2616371 or 1-800-780-9742. We're looking at the positive side of taxes, the patriotic duty of paying your taxes on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. This is a program for you, the patriotic American taxpayer. Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. Our guest, Jack Norman of the Institute for Wisconsin's Future, and Stan Grzynski of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And right now we're going to go back to the phones with Ned in Mosinee. Ned, you're on Route 51.
Yes, I lived in Arizona prior to coming to Wisconsin about 21 years ago. And there's several things that you can see as significant improvements here over that type of system in state government. One is the state park system is much, much better here. The roads are better here, and many things are better. And on a national level, I would say that federal funding of things like stem cell research that we see at UW-Madison, I think those show a lot of promise for addressing many diseases that may be conquered in the next few years. And there's many federal grants that are for medical and other types of worthy research that would not get funded if it were just for private corporations that need to look at the next quarterly earnings report, and maybe they wouldn't fit within the bottom line. So I would like to support things like medical research on a national level and things like our state park system at the state level.
Stan?
Well, I think he's right, and that's why I think that in the end we really need to engage the debate in this country in terms of where we want to place our priorities and what sorts of things we should be doing. I was listening the other night to a talk program that was, well, let's just say it was a little bit more to the right than you might engage, Glenn, and they were talking about what has happened in Europe, and they were you know, talking about what a horrible situation it is, because you have these countries working together and deciding to collaborate on their economies, and you know, they've got the euro now and they've got national health care and they're drifting in the direction of socialism and all of that. Well, the fact of the matter is, after the Second World War, Europe got together and decided that it was time that they quit wasting money killing each other, and that they would be better, you know, they would do more for their people by bringing people together and setting some priorities that raise the standard of living, raise the quality of life, and began to address, you know, wiser and more prudent ways to use the dollars that they have available. And I think that that's a debate that this country is going to need to have, and a conclusion that we're going to need to draw if we want to get some balance between what we think is an adequate amount of taxes and the quality of life that we would like to have for ourselves and our children.
Well, one of the things that happened in Europe after World War II was the Marshall Plan, which rebuilt Europe thanks to United States taxes paid by American taxpayers, the taxes during the 50s, which are viewed by a lot of people as being kind of a halcyon era of America. They also paid for the interstate highway system, got the space program started. Eisenhower and Nixon, a couple of Republican president and vice presidents. Jack, what was the top marginal income tax rate during the 50s?
It was 90%.
90%?
90%. And today it's about a third of that. You're absolutely right. That's sort of look back on as the height of American prosperity. And we had taxes back then that would just drive people insane today.
I don't recall anybody calling Dwight David Eisenhower or Richard Nixon socialists with a 90% tax rate during the 50s, and yet for many of us, that's when our parents, were thriving. I recall growing up in that era, there seemed to be a lot of rich people and a lot of millionaires being created.
Well, you know, and it wasn't just the federal tax rate. The same thing is true if you look at Wisconsin and the personal income tax rate. Wisconsin has had a personal income tax now for over 70 years, and our current rate, the top rate we have right now, even though it's up a little bit, it's basically as low as it has been in 60 years. We have a much lower personal income tax rate in Wisconsin today than Wisconsin had in the 50s. So all those tax rates have really dropped substantially.
One of the things people complain about in Wisconsin are the high property taxes. There are different forms of taxation. Is the property tax more onerous than other forms of taxation?
In Wisconsin, we do have a basis for complaining in the sense that compared with property taxes in other states, ours is high. In fact, of all the different kinds of taxes we pay in Wisconsin, the property tax is the highest one. And so there's a reason why people get upset about that. One of the reasons it's high is because so many of the other taxes have been lowered and things have been shifted. We've had a shift away from property taxation on a lot of business property that's gone over to homeowners. At the same time, we've really got to compare. In fact, going back to Ned, the caller who used to live in Arizona, you know, it reminded me, if listeners get in a conversation with friends and relatives who live in other parts of the country, and if you're talking, and if they talk about their property taxes and they sound a lot lower than what you're paying, ask a few more questions. Ask them, well, how much do you pay to register your car? How much do you pay to use the library? How much do you pay in tolls on the highways? Again, the property taxes we have here are going to be higher, but in so many states, that is more than made up for by all sorts of other fees that enter into it and that people have to pay.
Those property taxes hit retired people very hard, people who are on fixed incomes. And often they find that, and Stan, I'm sure that working with farm families, you find that they often have trouble meeting those payments.
Well, it's very difficult, and the reasons are, just as Jack explained, there's been a shift over the years. At one point, business and industry paid closer to 60% of the total property tax burden. Now, I'm not saying that this has necessarily been bad, but through the machinery and equipment exemption and the expansion of that exemption, that amount has dropped significantly, and that burden has been picked up by property tax owners, farmers, and otherwise. And the regressive nature of the property tax is that it's not based on your ability to pay. It's based on the property that you have.
And Jack Norman, very quickly, we're down to our last 15 seconds here. I know that pushing for progressive taxation is one of your highest priorities.
That's right. And I'll tell you, progressive taxation, where people who have more are asked to spend more, this is not a radical idea. The founding father of capitalism, so to speak, Adam Smith, was a very strong supporter of progressive taxation.
As was Teddy Roosevelt and Bob La Follette.
That's right.
Well, we want to thank today's guests. We're completely out of time, and thanks to all of you who called. Dr. Jack Norman of the Institute for Wisconsin's Future, and Stan Grzynski, former state legislator, congressional candidate, now with the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Mary Baldwin. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday, April 22nd, marks the 40th anniversary of Earth Day, the environmental holiday started by Wisconsin's own Gaylord Nelson in 1970. Our special guest, Marge Gibson of the Raptor Education Group in Antigo. She's one of the nation's premier wildlife rehabilitators. Route 51 can be heard every Thursday on the Ideas Network stations, WLBL 91.9 FM Wausau, 930 AM Auburndale, Stevens Point, WHBM 90.3 FM Park Falls, and now WHAA 89.1 FM Coloma. Thanks again for riding with us today and for paying your taxes. Until next week, we're heading out of town.